This is the Just Live podcast with Dan and Susie Potter, episode 73.
How do you pray?
In this episode, we're going to look at the prayer wheel, part two. How do we come to God?
We begin in 22 seconds.
Live life. See the good days in it. Just live. Live life. See the good days. See the good days. Follow your.
Your life is a remarkable story, an adventure that only you can create.
We exist to motivate and equip you to live fully alive.
So welcome back to Going Up, My Nehemiah Story. This is part three, and we're so glad that you've joined us.
My name is Dan.
My name is Susie.
Together we are Doozy. And we're going on an adventure today, moving ahead from the moment that Nehemiah hears about what's going on back in Jerusalem, which is, again, 900 miles away. Four and a half months walking one way. So far away, he gets this news, and he's brokenhearted. He's really brokenhearted. And it takes him into where we're looking at today, which is Nehemiah chapter 1, verses 4 and 5.
All right, so shall we go there?
Let's jump in.
So here is Nehemiah, verses 6 and 7, right?
6 and 7.
So that's where we're at today. And this is how. If you look down at the bottom of the wheel, we had who, and we were focused on God. When we were like in the emotional space, focusing on God, we looked at the names of God, and now we're at how. This is the story. How did it happen, and how am I right here and now in this space? Let's look at Nehemiah's part of the story from Nehemiah 1, 6, and 7.
Now you have to remember, he comes from this place where he has been weeping, he has been mourning, he is in confession, and it brings him to this prayer.
Right. So this is what he says. I confess the sins we Israelites, including myself and my father's family, have committed against you. We have acted very wickedly toward you. We have not obeyed the commands, decrees, and laws you gave your servant Moses. So he's like, how am I doing? This is how I'm doing. This is what's happened to bring me to the here and now.
I think it's like the curtain is drawn back. I think in life, a lot of times we wear masks, and either the mask has been ripped off or the curtain's been pulled back. And Nehemiah is there saying, here we are, God. Here we are. And we probably don't deserve too much. But I just want to come into your presence. So there's that story of how that I think when we're connecting to God in a desperate prayer, we need to also connect into the how.
So the how is also the story of life and death. So back in the garden, of Eden, there are two trees. We call it the tree of life and the tree of knowledge of good and evil. And those two are contrasting to each other. The tree of life has fruit and leaves. And in Revelation chapter 22, this tree is so big. The tree of life is
still
so big that it exists on both sides of the river. And it always has fruit coming in the different seasons. The leaves are there. And it's not like we're in the middle of winter here in Seattle at the time of this recording, and the only one that has leaves are the evergreen, like the pine Christmas trees. But the rest of the trees are very bare. They look actually like death, like what you're seeing over here.
Like a scary
the tree
movie.
Of death instead of the tree of life.
And this how question is very, very important, because there was also fruit on the tree of death. And we always have a choice in our story to reach for life or to reach for death. And sometimes we get really caught up on what is sin, what really is sin. I just think it's really important to give it a bit of a definition. It's anything that moves us away from life. It's anything that moves other people away from life. Jesus came that we may have life and have it to the full. He wants us at the tree of life, the river of life, the bread of life. The Bible's full of lives.
Yeah.
But oftentimes we make the choice towards death.
Mm-hmm.
And when we move into the place with God in prayer, we need to be real honest where we are. if we're hanging around the tree, we don't want to be like Adam and Eve and go run in the bushes. We need to be very open to say, here I am. I've been over here swinging on the tree of death. Because it's only in that time where we're really honest to say, how are we that we're invited back into, inside and out, that tree of life.
All right, so we're going to take it a little bit further in the Nehemiah story and the my story. So there are a few parts that we're going to highlight in the previous weeks. We went through this whole thing, and here we are. We're going to jump back to a few of them. Tell us where we're at in Nehemiah's life.
Well, Nehemiah's story, it went through very much at the very beginning, the first four verses. These things popped out. But there are some of them that we need to really remember as we move into Nehemiah's prayer and our prayer, how he prayed, how we prayed. So the first one was in Susa. That's the place where he was working. That's the place he lived. He probably always lived in Susa.
And so the question that we can apply here is, where are you? It could be location. It could also be where you are. Like, how are you living? Tree of life, tree of death. Where are you? It's time to like have a check-in. Where is it? How are you? Where are you?
You could include some things there also from your emotions wheel. This is where I'm at.
Where are you? Yeah. Yep.
The second thing he did was when he met someone from Jerusalem, one of his brothers, a relative of some sort.
From the tribe.
He questioned them. He actually leaned forward and brought some questions into the conversation.
Yeah, and what can we do? We can get curious with people that come into our space. People that, just get curious. And we do that by asking questions. So recently, I had a situation where I was like knowing, or so I thought, what Dan was thinking and how he was feeling. Because like, we've been married 37 and a half years. And, you know, I do know Dan, but I was guessing what he was thinking. And so Dan was like, ask me. I'm right here. Ask me how I am. Ask me what I'm thinking. And so we kind of like shook hands. We were like, okay, we're going to pause. And he says, Susie, just ask me some questions. Just get curious. And we've been doing that. So I ask him questions. What and how questions are the best. I can just ask him what he's doing, how he's thinking, what's going on. And hopefully when we come across people that we know and love, or even people we don't, we can get curious and ask them questions to find out where they're at or how they're doing.
Curiosity is very, very important, not just outside, but also inside. When we're going to prayer, we take these things from the outside questions, the outside curiosity, and bring them into that space where we even ask God some questions. We get really curious of what's going on in me, in my family, in the walls that are down in my society or whatever. We begin to be really curious, not just judgmental. Judgmentalism goes to the tree of death, but curiosity moves to that place that we're very curious of what God has. The next one would be Jerusalem. That has to do with where we're from.
So our identity, who are we? Where's our family roots? What are those values? What's from our family of origin that make me who I am? That help me say, like, who am I and where do I fit?
And the last thing is survived. It is something to describe where you are. Are you surviving? Are you thriving? Are you barely making it?
And this has to do with your mindset. What are the glasses that you're wearing that give you that lens to say, like, how you're perceiving, how you are receiving, how you are taking in the information, that mindset? Hopefully, we do not have a fixed, stuck, death mindset. Hopefully, we have a growth mindset that allows us to be in the tree of life space.
And all these things God is saying, bring to me. Nehemiah brings everything into God. And we can do the very, very same thing. There's this tool we use called the
Hourglass.
Hourglass tour.
So it's like hourglass. And what it looks like is that hourglass, you know, when it flips, the sand falls to the bottom. Gravity pulls it down. And what we'd love for you to do on a piece of paper is to make this hourglass. Just do a figure eight if you're not artist-like. I love what Dan's done with the trees, the tree of life and the tree of death.
With the snake around it.
With the snake squishing. I don't love the snake, by the way. But up in the upper part, make a list of things that bring you life. Mm. Now, these might be things that God has ordained for you, but it also could be things that just bring you life. For example, for me, it's nature, fun, it's celebrating, it's people, it's doing crafty things, it's moving, it's dancing. These things bring me life.
It could be singing, it could be art, it could be playing an instrument, whatever it is.
Favorite that, games, favorite
me
songs.
Me being with animals, even in the park, I see an animal there, a dog, and it's like, oh, can I touch your dog? I mean, it just brings me so much life to be around animals.
So just make a list there of things that bring you life. And then on the bottom side, that blue side, what are some of the things that bring you death? Now, they might not cause you to die, but they're not putting you in that fully alive space. For me, when there's not good conversation, not good connection, if there's something that has happened that has caused us to be disconnected, misunderstanding, misconnection, those things bring me death. If people are sitting there, they don't engage, they're not willing to have conversations, that's not life-giving to me. That's quite difficult for me.
I think also maybe things from your past. I was not really good in school. I was laughed at a lot for not being able to read. So there are times where words that weren't meant that way bring me death because I feel worthless. I feel like I can't. I don't belong in this place. Mm-hmm. And some of those kind of things, just write them down.
Some of your anti-passions, for example, rejection is my anti-passion. Some of us remember basement mentality. What are the four basement mentalities?
I am not good enough. I can't. I don't belong. I have no worth.
Right. So any of those could be in your death category as well. So we encourage you to make a list of what brings you life and what brings you death. And we'd love when this recording is over that you have a discussion about some of those things.
So it comes to the place where it's how. How are you? As you move into prayer, God has all the time in the world. He has more time than you do. He loves to hear you say how you are, because as you say how you are, you hear it. He knows, but you get to hear it and you get to be very honest. This is where I'm at. This is where I'm hurting. This is what I'm celebrating. This is what I'm really afraid of. This is what I desire. Put that into words, that can also be part of, like Nehemiah, he brought that, the whole package of how to God.
Okay, so this is the time for you to examine your story. Where are you? What is your condition right now? Thinking of the life and thinking of the death and the impact of those two things on you.
Well, my name is Dan.
My name is Susie.
Together we are Doozy. We want you to live fully.
And love fully. Thanks for joining us for this time. And we hope that your discussion that comes as a result of this, your writing notes, your journaling about these things will be something that is going to hopefully bring you life. And that's where you are.
So may you live fully alive as you love your life, your world, and your God.
All right. Bye for now.